CBR episode 524 on November 9th, 2024, where now I have a snotty nose.
Welcome to CBR, formerly known as Craft Beer Radio, sometimes still known as Craft Beer Radio. Habits are hard to kill. And I don't know what's going on. We got some beers from Mark on our Discord. He sent us in some beers. All from
New Glarus,
one of those blue wall states that didn't hold out for us.
Too soon.
We're going to talk about that right now. I mean, we can start.
No, we probably should save it for later.
Look, I just want to point out before anything happens, we want a democracy to win, and this democracy won. This was a clear, you know, for whatever sake that happened, this was right. Very clear. All right, we have our Pilsner.
Yes, New Glarus Brewing's Pilsner.
Now, we heard the story when I brought the New Glarus Spotted Cow back, which was, I didn't like it in cans. Mm-hmm. I liked it better in bottles. And we came to the conclusion by drinking one after the show that it was actually better straight out of the bottle than it was in the glass.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's just the can experience on a New Glarus. It's just kind of sucky.
Okay. Well, we'll see how the Pilsner goes. The Pilsner is in the can.
That's if you're drinking directly from the can.
Drinking from the can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in more New Glarus news, one of the breweries that we stopped at when we were out in Denver is Peter Buchard's, the new brewer from New Belgium, his new place. And they had a Wisconsin cream ale on. And I wish I was more sober for this conversation, because she was saying there was something like, this was like the old Spotted Cow. And I said that on the Discord, and we had this whole conversation on Discord about like, no, Spotted Cow hasn't changed, has it? And I was confused, I think, because when we had it back in the day, and maybe we did our internet research, the internet told us it was a cream ale. Mm-hmm. And when we had it just a couple weeks ago, it was listed as a farmhouse.
Yes.
And I remember seeing some confusion about that. And then when the lady at the brewery talked about, this is like what Spotted Cow used to be, I was like, oh yeah, cream ale, right? And so I was conflating our kind of cockeyed assessments from before and what she had said. But like talking with Mark and people on Discord, no one knows that Spotted Cow has changed other than...
It could have been just like probably we were getting information from like Beer Advocate or something and they called it a cream ale.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, aside from Peter's people thinking that it has changed, I don't know. So it's this whole big mystery. I wish I had my facts straight when I was talking to her about it.
So this is their Pilsner from New Glarus. There's a lot here. I know I'll read it after we start quaffing. I'll read the information, like the text here. I can tell you some of the information here. Diamant, Middlefra, Saphir, Select, and Hillertau Blank hops. So wide range of continental hops, 35 IBU. And that's all I have. There might be alcohol on the can or something.
I mean, it's certainly within that range of like low fives, right?
Probably.
I don't know if it's on there.
Let's see.
The aroma.
It smells like
bready.
Yeah, it's bready. It's interesting. When I went on to the flavor, I kind of got that noble hop flavor up front. So like it's a little different from the aroma. I was expecting more of a malt backbone to it. And at least for the very first sip, front of the tongue, it's getting this kind of spicy noble hop flavor.
Lots of hops here. Yeah, definitely right up front. There's a good malty Pilsner backbone underneath it. But yeah, up front, it's hops.
Distinctly hoppier than a lot of Pilses.
I don't see an ABV on that can anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. So this is 24 alcohol, by the way.
It might be untrue.
Might.
But, I mean, since facts don't matter anymore. We played a really fun improv game warming up. We didn't record it. would have been fun to have, but it's called 60 Second Expert, which Greg is. And basically you're just given a topic and you just need to talk about that topic confidently for 60 seconds. Not correctly, but confidently.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. I think we're going to play it somewhere in the post show.
I was hoping we were doing karaoke tonight.
No, we could do karaoke.
I mean, I will never say no to karaoke. And you know, I was recently in North Korea. In South Korea.
Wow. Boy, you got out. Look at that. Wow.
Recently in South Korea, and unfortunately didn't get a chance to really karaoke it up. So, yeah.
Mm.
We're going to have to sing Gangnam Style tonight.
We might have to. I was in Gangnam. Not for super long, but I was in Gangnam during the day. I mean, it didn't go to any clubs or anything like that. Mm. Not a club kind of person anyway. Not bad.
I like it.
A little over hoppy, I think. Like, I think I would prefer to be more malty.
That's probably why I like it.
I'm not sure.
It's less malty and more hoppy.
I'm not sure if I have a preference on that. I like that it's different.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I can't think of the last time I've had a Pilsner with this kind of European strong hopping to it, right? I've had ones where their hops are more fruity or melony or stuff like that. But this one's straight up noble hop spice.
And well, what was it? What's Victory's Pils?
Prima Pils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
You probably have never had it. It's been a long time since I've seen it anywhere around here.
Huh.
Hey, Tim, fix that.
you still listen, right?
No, he totally listens. He's the guy we met up with when you were in Korea. He was out here for a Brewers of Pennsylvania seminar, and we went to Lolev.
Yes, we did. That was
hung
a fun
out with
night.
A listener. It was awesome.
So if anybody else comes to Pittsburgh,
as long as we're around.
Yeah.
Lots of traveling this month. It's been a crazy month for travel for Shannon and I, but also Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of us. We have many stories. So many stories.
So
the best,
many stories.
The biggest, the best stories.
We love the stories, don't we, folks? Okay. All right, here's the text of this, because I wanted to save this because it felt too weird to do it before.
Okay.
Quest of unattainable, of blah, 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 blah. What were our things we did before? We also did some tongue twisters.
Blah, 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 blah. I slit a sheet.
Yes.
Upon a slitted sheet, I sit, actually. But I like to say shit.
Quest of unobtainable perfection exists. Brewmaster Dan's holy grail is the perfect Pilsner. His ideal being an old school blur of German and Czech styles. Heirloom Pilsner malted barley and a double decoction mash, begin the maddeningly complex journey, joined by Bavarian Royalty, Diamant, Mittelfrust, Sapphire, Select, and Hillertau Blank hops that gracefully weigh in a quaffable 35 IBU, the simplicity of a six-week lager forges this Pilsner treasure.
I do believe that ChatGPT was involved in that description.
No, it's probably from before that. But it's a bunch of marketing spaghetti, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
Beer. If I was picking, I'd have to have them side by side. One of these and one that has more malt character and figure out which one I like better. I love that it's different. I love that it gave me a distinctly different vibe than all of the Pilsners I had out in Denver. And Denver
had some good Pilsners.
It's starting to catch on here a little bit. And, you know, Denver's always further ahead than Pittsburgh. And there's a lot of lager love going on out there. All right, so we have
Drink up. Yeah, I really like this, though. I'm trying to savor it.
Well, get another glass, then. I don't think the listeners want to listen to you not drink your beer. We got three sours. I mean that mean way. Did we get that bottle opener?
Yeah. Oh,
there it is.
I'm not giving it to you now. Open it with your teeth.
We just
what are we doing?
The strawberry rhubarb.
Not going to the Belgian red first?
We can do Belgian red first. Sure.
Okay.
Let's do Belgian red.
The first line of this intrigues me. You hold the marriage of wine and beer.
Oh, no.
It's starting to gush.
Oh, it's going to go.
Wasn't a bad gusher, but it was a little gushy. This is the Belgian red, right?
Yeah. Brewed with Montmorency cherries, Wisconsin farm wheat, and Belgian roasted barley. Interesting. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I closed Chrome and then it decided to update. And accidentally closed Chrome and it was like, update. Now it's like,
where's
oh,
the
God.
Bum, bum, bum.
I have none of the... All that's on Chrome.
Yeah. I know. Oh, no.
The effects for the failure.
Probably my sound
deck
turned down anyway.
I'll do them. Don't you worry. Oh,
they're not anymore. There you go. All right. I haven't had Belgian Red in probably 15 years. I know the last time we had it, it came in a large bottle, big old 750. This one's in a 12-ounce bottle.
Hmm. What's the ABV on this? Do they have it? I don't think they like to put them on their bottles. Maybe they don't have to in
That's
Wisconsin.
Why
they
go into, yeah.
You don't have to anywhere.
So 4%, according to Beer Advocate.
That's what they have to.
4%.
Now you just got all the extra yeast and crap at the bottom.
Which might Oops. Be good.
Shannon, I'm
tired. Shannon took the dregs out I'm of the tired. Bottom of the bottle, which I carefully decanted, and she just poured it into her glass.
I was like, oh, there's more beer in there. I'm tired.
All right. So this one pours, even carefully decanted, it's pretty cloudy.
It's kind of like Pittsburgh.
Well, yours isn't fair to judge, but the aroma on it has a bit of Tootsie Roll or something like that.
Oops, I didn't mean to.
It was well played.
Oh, kind of smells delicious.
It kind of smells like a cherry candy. It smells like cherry Starburst. I think that's what I'm smelling right now.
Oh, I was thinking, what are those hard candies?
Jolly Ranchers?
Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
That thing.
Okay. Yeah, a little bit cherry of that. Jolly Rancher, cherry Starburst. So
it's a mix between the two. I think that those are both good, both really good signposts.
Yeah, it's actually the Starburst.
It's weird, right? Because I don't want it to taste like candy.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to taste like cherries. So like the smell's kind of like, hopefully it's...
Well, I mean, that's aroma. And aroma combines with taste to make flavor. So it's not necessary. Unless that's like the only compound in there, which I doubt.
Mm-hmm. Has a lot of cherry Jolly Rancher flavor to it. The tartness kind of aligns with the tartness you get from a Jolly Rancher.
I like this.
It's pretty good.
This is one very thing, good. It's
it
not.
It does have a little bit of that like candiness to it that feels vaguely artificial just because we're so used to it in cherry candies.
Mm-hmm. It has a darker note too, almost like a Tootsie Roll or something, like a bit of a cocoa or something in there.
Oh, I would imagine that's some of the malt coming through. One thing that I learned very recently that I didn't know about, but it makes total sense, is that a lot of the things that contribute the aroma part that contribute to flavor comes from the back of your mouth. The stuff that contributes to flavor comes more from coming from the back of your mouth, both from your digestive system and from what aerates out from down your throat, as opposed to what goes directly in your mouth, in your nose up front.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. It's something about, I don't have the name remembered, but like olfactory respiration or something like that. But
okay.
This is really good.
It's good. It's
I couldn't drink a lot of it.
I wouldn't say it's complex. I think it's kind of giving you what it's giving you.
Yes.
I'm not able to like unearth additional flavors. It's kind of here's the cards.
Mm-hmm.
This is the hand you're playing.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's not unlikable. It's not undrinkable. It's a little
better than a lot of Gozes and Quick Sours and things like that. So it kind of plays in that depth of flavor, but it's better flavors than the Quick Sour.
I haven't really had Belgian Reds before, I guess. Is this what I should expect? Is it at all what you
Probably
would expect in a Belgian
this
Red?
No.
This one is like the fruit. It's almost like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term, but with cider with back sweetening, we've talked about it maybe, but you know, like a cider will ferment out pretty dry. Mm-hmm. And one way to make a yummy cider is once the yeast are done, to kind of add more unfermented apple juice. So it's sweeter and more apple cidery as opposed to just fermented cider. And that's a trick I've done with them when I've made cider. You either have to kill the yeast with sulfites or just keep everything really cold so the yeast doesn't wake up and ferment the apple sugars. Okay. But like this tastes like Belgian red, but back sweetened with like cherry juice kind of thing.
They call it the marriage of wine and beer. And so I think that it's not like, it's not the best wine in the world that they're thinking of. They're thinking of a relatively cheap wine that's fine, but not going to blow your
A very out. Sweet wine. Oh. One that I wouldn't necessarily get.
I think it's, that's just catering to a wine drinker. You go to the pub, like, what do you got that, I like wine, what do you got?
Yeah.
Here, try this, right? I mean, sours have been that way for, across the board, mm-hmm. for
yeah.
non-beer drinkers. This one's like, you like sangria? Here, drink this, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good call.
Yeah.
The flavor's flat in the sense that there's not a lot to explore here.
No.
But it's a good flavor.
But I
wouldn't want like a whole... It.
Yeah, I think...
six pack of this.
No, but I think
the 4 ounces we each got was the right size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... I don't want to sound like I'm pooping on it. It's good. It's just not complex.
Color is kind of amberish. Mm. So I was in South Korea for a week and had some interesting food. I was with Jeff recently and he asked me what was better, the Japanese food or the Korean food? And I said Japanese food by a mile, not even close. The Korean food was fine, good even in a lot of cases, but the Japanese food is special on a whole another order. It's just they spend too much time caring about the quality and the craftsmanship of what they do with regards to food. Whereas Korea has a very 1950s American army sort of throw this together.
Imagine
and see
that.
What
they're
works.
Stuck in a yeah. certain period of time. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. All right. The next one we're going to do, I'm not going to rush into it, but this is the milk chocolate stout.
Ooh, nice.
And then after that, we'll do a sour and then we'll go into the coffee stout.
All right. I'm trying to find milk chocolate stout on their site.
This one's a can. And
I really thought that it was a law that you had to put the ABV on the.
Nope. Nope.
You don't have to put the calories on it either.
Well,
the main reason for the calorie one is the Brewers Association, last I checked, was lobbying against that because it puts small brewers at a disadvantage of having to get their stuff lab tested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is part of the Thumbprint series. Their milk chocolate stout.
I think some places you're not allowed to put the ABV on it.
Really?
Because it's... The stupid people in charge see it as a marketing thing. Like, oh, the bigger the number.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
6%, according to Untappd.
That's not very high, is it, for a stout?
For a stout, that's fine. That's what I would expect.
Yeah. I mean, you're used to...
It's not
to,
like a double stout.
You're used to, like, imperial stouts are 15% ABV.
Oh, okay.
This is old school stout. This is stout before the 2000s.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm actually quite happy that it's only 6%.
No idea whether there's actual chocolate in here.
Oh, smell it, and you will have an idea if there's actual
chocolate. Oh, my gosh.
They mention English dark crystal malt.
Yeah, there's definitely chocolate in there. It has kind of a chocolate syrup kind of aroma.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to let this sit for a minute. You're already tasting it?
Baby sip. Oh, yeah, let it warm up.
Warm it up with my hands and
color
do all
is,
the things.
Yeah, dark tannish and has good amount of carbonation on it. Expect as much out of a can.
Well, we're warming up the beer. Anything else about you want to talk about your trip?
What was your favorite thing that you had to eat? Because we saw some really cool pictures. So
yeah.
I want to know your favorite thing.
Oh, some of the barbecue was amazing. Believe it or not, that seagull meat was great.
And seagull meat wasn't so, seagull.
Yeah, so seagull meat is what
I've got this fear if you yeah. all could see it right now.
when we translate all the stuff that this particular thing said seagull meat, and it was like it was clearly not seagull, but I was like, what does that mean? Apparently it's from a part of the pig that the bone looks like if you were to draw a simple seagull.
Oh.
So it's
okay.
It's like pork butt. Right?
Okay. I feel so much better. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was seagull meat. I had to try it and it was decent. It was pretty good. It was actually, I think it was from like around the neck area, so decently fatty. Mm-hmm. So it had a lot of nature to it.
Yeah.
What's my favorite thing I had? I definitely think that the barbecue was the best.
Barbecue seagull.
Barbecue. We went to a place that was really good and got some like expensive beef. Like it was something like 54,000. I forget what the name of their currency is, but 54,000, which roughly gets to around 33 bucks.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And it was like super marbled, like really beautiful.
Oh yeah,
meat, and it was delicious on the grill. Yeah, and all the little stuff that you get. I think the first like meal I had there. I have a picture of it. The first meal I put it on the Discord, I believe, but I just want to remind you guys of what that looked like. The very first meal I had was one of the best ones. It was just delicious, and it was in this little kind of hole in the wall place, and it was just kind of perfect.
Now, was there somebody there that lives there that kind of guided you guys to all of these different restaurants?
I went to visit my friend Nick.
Oh, I thought you were there on business.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember seeing that picture.
It was just a bowl of stuff, kind of a vaguely bulgogi type thing, mm-hmm. with a lot of things. It was just fresh and delicious and really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff was there. This is the kind of junk. This is the kind of like army stuff. This is like an army stew. This is like ramen and a kimchi stew with some American cheese on top.
I could get behind that.
It's really
ramen
really tasty.
And kimchi.
Really, really tasty. Junk, but tasty, tasty mm-hmm. junk.
That's cool.
Yeah, and there was something. This was a sort of pancakey type savory pancake with, I think there was some squid on it, and there's various different veggies in there. Yeah.
It looks like a flatbread pizza that's a mm-hmm. white, pizza.
The only pizza I ended up having there, because I didn't really want to get much American food, we were pretty drunk and we went to a place that had, here you go, here's your flatbread pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Just stuff that they... Yeah, there lots of fried stuff. Yeah. I did have the crazy, and it's also in the Discord, the not technically live, but still wiggling octopus. Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
So.
I mean, I've eaten plenty,
mm-hmm.
but not squiggly. Still it was moving.
Perhaps the worst part about it was that it wasn't that bad. it was, it was very fresh, obviously. there is the weird thing of the sort of suckers are kind of still working.
Ew.
So they...
No. Hard no. Hard no. Absolutely not.
Which was just an interesting experience. It wasn't painful at all.
Yeah.
Though it would be for me.
But yeah, no, it tasted pretty decent, which was mm-hmm. kind of the scary part, right? Like, not to the point where it's like, oh, this is amazing. Because what happened was I wasn't necessarily going to do it, and then somebody was like, "Green guy said, no, you have to do it, you have to try." Sure. And so I was like, "Well, I'm not against eating anything once." I'll give it a shot.
I'm against anything that's still alive.
It's not alive.
I mean, it was alive 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just the tentacles, right? So.
No.
All right. Back to the chocolate stout.
My lizard, he's wiggling things all the time. Loves them.
Yeah. I'm not a lizard.
We can get into that. You're not. You're not. But.
Oh, this just smells like a cup of milk chocolate. Hershey's milk chocolate.
Hmm.
Flavor is kind of a medium to light body.
Yeah.
It coffee. I mean, the chocolate carries through.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really finish chocolatey. It finishes more malty, I guess. Like that's the chocolate kind of goes away.
So much astringency on here that I would almost call it a porter.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Feels dusty. Almost. It feels just like not clean in that sense. It feels a little.
That's, I think because
gritty almost.
I mean, part of it for me at least is. Expect like a body and a creaminess from the chocolate, something or another. And because this one's lighter in the body and isn't creamy, it's this dissonance in my expectations.
I think that's a good call.
So my mind is going to, instead of it being a cup of chocolate milk made with whole milk, it's a cup of chocolate milk that's made with powdered milk that you would mix with water. And then pour Hershey syrup into.
Powder like non-fat milk.
So the powdered, you know, that we had to buy it when I was young to have it for snowstorms and, you know, in case we couldn't get to the store.
Yeah, and I think that's usually non-fat milk, so that's why you don't get.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of creaminess there. You just sort of get watery.
I mean, there's other, on top of that, there is some malt up front. The more I drink it, the more stringent it is getting in the finish.
You mentioned something that struck me, and now it's kind of lost, unfortunately. I had something to say, and I lost it. But it was something about the lightness of it.
Right.
I'm trying to just reinvigorate those brain cells by going over it again.
You should put a copper helmet on.
There's a drink that my father used to rave about when he was a kid, growing up in New York, called an egg cream.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just always heard about it, never got to it. When one time we got to New York and finally was like, found a place that has an egg cream. And I got
Before you say what it is, sounds delicious. Sounds like eggnog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's not eggnog.
Mm-mm. An egg cream has no eggs and no cream.
Nice.
It is. Chocolate syrup, particular syrup called You Bet, and like seltzer water.
Really?
And that's it. And it's gross as hell. And this doesn't remind me of that.
I was going to say.
But that lightness does remind me of that because it was just chocolate syrup and seltzer water, right? And there's no backbone of that at all. This at least is a malty backbone of some sort, but... It was closer to egg cream than an egg than a chocolate milkshake, which is what you think when you think of egg cream. Something like a chocolate milkshake with like egginess to it, like a custardy thing. Who knows how it got the name egg cream? Maybe just the fantasy they were dreaming of when they were having this.
I didn't know your dad grew up during the Great Depression.
Yeah, just apparently it's what kids liked back then. Probably pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah. It's just seltzer water and a pump of syrup.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, it's great. And I was like, this is not good at all.
Now I want to try an egg cream.
No, you've got me thinking about Maggie's Farms eggnog and eggnog season.
They put out a post the other day. It's out. It's out.
We are so going this week.
Okay. Let's do another sour.
It's like there is milk in it.
Is there?
According to what lactose? I'm reading online.
I want to hear the description. Oh, I thought you were talking about this.
No, the egg cream. Egg cream is milk, carbonated water, and flavored syrup. It's a substitute for ice cream float, traditionally made in a small glass. I don't remember there being milk in it. There may have been, but not in any way that made it like tasty. So like a fizzy chocolate milk.
I'm sorry, I didn't really care for that one much.
Don't be sorry.
You had to apologize to...
Yeah.
You have to apologize to Mark.
To the beer gods.
Do you want yours minced? Oh, I guess not. You've already got yours poured.
No, I rinsed and I drank with my rinse.
Mm.
What is this? What are we pouring?
Strawberry rhubarb.
Ooh.
Strawberry rhubarb.
I'm looking forward to this.
Pours murky.
Murky like Pittsburgh murky water or murky?
Murky like murky murk. Mm. Greg, why don't you take the rest of that? I don't think you have to worry about this decanting. I think it's all the same. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Looks, definitely. Ooh, looks murky.
Smells like strawberry jam. Smells so good.
It sure does. Straight up strawberry jam.
Or like a compote or something. It smells really, really good. Strawberry jam is one of my favorite jams. I mean.
I know.
So another low alcohol. This is 4%. And we have is strawberries, rhubarb. That's it. That's all they talk about here.
Never had rhubarb without strawberries.
Yeah, you kind of need something because the tartness of rhubarb is off the charts. Mm-hmm. Strawberry can be tart, but also very sweet. Lots of sugar in strawberries. So you need something to tame that. I think blueberries would work. Something with a lot of sweetness and a little bit of tang to complement the rhubarb. And I think you're good.
I'm interested in blueberry rhubarb.
I think it would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Blueberry is my favorite.
Your favorite fruit?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. What's my favorite fruit? From a culinary standpoint, not a biological standpoint. Right. Favorite fruit?
I will pick blueberry anything, every day, all day.
Blueberry's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Blueberry jam. Blueberry pie.
Blackberry.
Blueberry. I mean, I love blackberries too. Yeah, no, that's a good call. Good.
No, I'd have to go with Shannon. Blueberries lap blackberries for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I love blueberries, frankly. I love them. They're great. I don't generally like blueberry pie because I think that I've never had a blueberry pie that tasted like it was like fresh blueberries. It always turns into this goop that's not blueberry.
Mm-hmm. It's not blueberry-y.
Yeah, not blueberry-y. But I think if you, mixing with rhubarb, you might be able to get something that brings out some.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that.
Peach might go well with rhubarb too.
Oh, yeah.
Peach would. I do love peaches too.
Yeah, good peaches is hard to beat.
Peach cobbler.
Mm.
No, you can tell I'm hungry.
Remember, you watched Deadwood when it was out?
No.
It's set in the Old West, right? In Deadwood, whatever, Nevada or something like that. And whenever they were having like a summit of the bad guys like type thing, they'd always break out the canned peaches. It was the important meal or the cocktail to go with the important deliberations.
Yeah,
okay. I love this.
You do.
I love this.
Mm. Had a few sips so far. It is, this one has a thickness to it.
It almost is
like a smoothie kind of texture, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
It's like a raspberry or strawberry rhubarb smoothie, the texture.
Absolutely.
On the thing. And tartness plays through. The rhubarb's distinct. The strawberries are distinct.
Yep.
It's
refreshing. It's a great refreshing beer I wouldn't even, if you just gave this to me in a different cup, glass, whatever, I would not believe you if you told me it was a beer.
So I'm going to disagree with you.
It does taste like it.
I would love this to be a lot cleaner.
Really?
The smoothie thing's kind of weird.
This tastes, I think, too yeasty for me with the flavors that are going on. And so it feels pretty muddled.
I mean, like, I'm not getting, it's really hard with the smoothie and the tartness mm-hmm. to really tell what's going on with any malts or hops or anything like that. It's just a presentation that is, it's a dessert beer. And I mean, to be honest, Belgian Red, this one and Raspberry Tart are kind of just dessert beers, right?
You know? Yeah. The The red felt cleaner to me. Mm-hmm. More, the story was trying to tell was very distinct and clear. This is unclear in what's being told, because it feels like it's been dragged through just a whole bunch of like yeasty stuff, and you just, that's all sort of dripping off of it. So what's there is harder to pick out.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some of, I don't know, it wasn't really settled. Like, this beer was pretty homogenous when we poured it. It's interesting, mm-hmm. right? Like, I know when, like, you brew pumpkin, right? It's really hard to get the pumpkin to settle out. You almost have to filter it, or you lose a lot of beer. I'm wondering if, like, the rhubarb or something is doing the same thing, giving it the body. But
there's something in there that is distinctly onion sulfury. And
I don't taste it.
It kind of falls off the end as you sort of let it just linger.
Hmm.
I get like a splash of green onion or something vegetal like that. Something in the sulfury vegetal, maybe even brassica type note.
Can you say it again?
Alexa, shut up.
I don't even know what prompted her. What did you say that prompted?
Brassica or something.
I don't know, but look at it just reminds me of.
Well, she's muted.
That's
her
fine.
Mic's muted.
I was looking at the photo.
I may have been looking at it because it's moving around, and may have said, oh, it's looking at me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to it. Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't expect this to be a beer at all. So that's tough. But I really do like the flavors.
I think, tastes again, like a small smoothie. Portion's good on this. Like a 12 ounces of that would be a lot for that beer.
I would definitely, though, if they served this, what's that restaurant we like to go to we haven't been to in forever? And over by Commonplace, where we get the Belgian waffles.
Oh, the one that's closing down?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Park Bruges closing down.
Are you? No.
I mean, there's still other ones, but Park Bruges is closing down.
Why?
Because.
Well, this would be the best beer with those Belgian waffles.
This would go pretty good with waffles, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, without the CBR microscope on, this would be a fine drinker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But with the microscope on, yeah.
Well, I don't have my on.
It's okay. You don't have to. All right. So while we finish up that beer, Shannon and I had an adventure out in the greater Denver area, Colorado. Mm-hmm. She had a conference and I tagged along, and you didn't visit you were, I guess, too short. I visited 18 breweries. She visited 16.
Oh, and I told people at work that I only visited 14.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
Apparently, I visited more than I thought.
Worthy number.
It is.
Some of the best brewery that we went to, yeah, I'll call it the best, was Wild Provisions, Greg. This place was awesome. They specialized in two kinds of beer, Czech lagers and sours. And they did the sour. They had a traditional goose on there, you know, 3-year blend of spontaneously fermented beers. It was so good. They had all kinds of other stuff, but they had a bunch of those Czech, you know, side pour taps where you can get the I think they're called Loker or something like that, where you can get their different Czech lagers with, you know, the big wet foam heads and everything. It was so good. Really good place.
Definitely a good place. We had a lot of really good ones. I thought you were going to say Jessup. There's all the breweries. There's the list.
Jessup Farm was one of the top three as well.
Definitely.
It was our last stop of the trip.
That was fun because, do you want to tell them about your game that you played?
Oh, great game. I think everyone should play this when they beer travel. You go to a place and you ask them where you should go next.
Mm-hmm. Mm, interesting.
And I followed this trail like 6 breweries deep.
Yep.
And
it turned out to be a lot of fun, and we hit a lot of really, really exceptional breweries that we probably wouldn't have Yeah, we definitely wouldn't have.
Yeah, there was a few that we weren't on our radar.
Yeah. Do you want to?
And there was a couple that were on our radar that kind of got like passed on. So, all right. Coffee stout from New Glarus Brewing.
Coffee. Oops. Went too far on the notepad here.
I mean, the other game I played is which beer should I get from your place? But it's a more fun. The better game is where do we go from here?
Well, you had a lot of fun at the last one.
Yeah.
Because you got a flight that the brewer put together. What? It was a flight of her favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you ask?
We got a second
flight.
So they had a flight, a Clarissa's pick of the week. And it wasn't the brewer, cellar manager, I would say. You know, so it was four of her favorite beers. And then my next flight was, okay, what's the next four? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the ones that wasn't on that one was the Pilsner. So they gave us a sample of the Pilsner.
That was their so Pilsner, good. That was really
their
good.
Their Pilsner name had the best name. It was 1-900-PILS. It was a fuckable Pilsner for sure.
It was.
Interesting.
Oh, but that place, Spieglagel, beer tulips.
Yeah.
Yes, everything. Yeah. Even the taste, even the samples were.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, you know, like we talked about that and like you don't see it too often where a place standardized on the beer tulips, which for people listening, that's what we've used on the show exclusively for 17 years.
Something like that. I mean, we started pretty early using them and yeah, these are our standard tulips for beer analysis for sure.
Yep.
5.75% alcohol by volume, coffee stout. Wisconsin water, roasted malts, American hops, and Just Coffee.
And Just
cold coffee. Pressed organic coffee from Just Coffee Co-op.
Nice. We need to go to Wisconsin when we head out.
This is not the right time to go to Wisconsin.
Well, no.
Yeah.
You don't mean now. You mean in the spring.
In the spring. When we head out west.
We could try to swing that.
Yeah, I mean, I was there in April and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. The aroma on this one. It's not too far from the milk chocolate stout. While it's not like, chocolate.
No,
there's a chocolate note to it, though.
It's a roasty
more
note.
Nutella, I think.
Well, see, I'm still getting like a chocolate. I mean, there's roasty, there's this, but I'm still smelling like a distinct chocolatey. Maybe it hung out in the glass through the strawberry rhubarb one and came back.
I rinsed my glass stuff. So.
Seems like the same beer with a different treatment. Like
doesn't
the body is exactly
doesn't?
The same.
Yes. Yeah. Both stouts are very, very similar to each other.
Yeah. Pretty light.
It is a light stout. It's not what I would expect at all in a stout.
That's what stouts used to be like.
They call it hearty and satisfying.
They don't make them like this anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah. They call it hearty and satisfying. It's definitely not hearty. Satisfying is arguable, but hearty, no.
No, it's not hearty.
I wonder how messed up my calibration is for stouts. Like, is there a possibility this is perfectly reasonable and I'm just so
No, I think this is a perfectly reasonable stout because if you're not, you know, you're just thinking traditional stout and not like big imperial stout, high alcohol, you know, lots of stuff in it. This is stouty enough for me. That's not a problem. This doesn't end with the astringency that the
true. It does
chocolate
it does finish better, which is weird, right? This is the one with the coffee in it. This one should have kind of tannic end to it. It is cold press coffee, so those are kind of way smoother. Yeah. You don't get the hot notes, but it's good. It's fine. Again, not giving us much story to tell.
Yeah.
No.
None of these have really been amazing. Like, look at all of that that's going on there. Look at what we can find in this. The only ones that have been look what we can find this so far are the ones that are kind of muddled. So
so you had to go looking for
them.
It's a good point.
I mean, they're all clean in the sense that they're not, you know, none of these are like infected or anything. There's no off flavors. This is what they intended. It's just, is there's less fullness to a lot of these than I was really expecting.
Do you remember, I think it was the first time we went on for the GABF. We went up to Boulder and went to Avery and stuff. Were you on that trip? I think we went with like James Spencer from Basic Brewing Radio. Remember Avery and Twisted Pine and Redstone Meadery? Any of those ring a bell?
I don't think so.
Okay. Shin and I went back to Redstone Meadery. It was right near where Wild Provisions was. And it was a freaking time capsule. The place hasn't changed in 20 years.
No.
Like, not other than Dave, I think Dave's the owner's name. Other than him being 20 years older, everything else was exactly the same as I remember. It was so wild. Like, I was expecting some change.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you were pretty surprised that it was.
I guess the only change was he still had his plexiglass COVID thing hanging in front.
You know, it didn't even dawn on me that that's what that was there for. I didn't think about it.
It's come down most places, but he still had it hanging up.
Yeah. But I love meaderies.
Oh, yeah. Shannon has a newfound love for mead now.
Yeah, I do.
Redstone's a good one. Redstone's a special one compared to, you know, others. But.
So good. I can't wait to break open that bottle of
jizz in my pants.
I don't know.
Kind of how she came. Or like the tastings there are so economical. Like for $5, you get to taste everything they have except for the reserves, and then you can taste the reserves for $4 more. And yeah,
it's just like, why not taste every single thing they have?
$4 each taste?
No, for the reserves. I mean,
so he had like the $5 tasting, I think, got us like 9 tastes or 12 tastes. Mm-hmm. And then the reserve was like 3 tastes for $4. But
He blew through them really fast.
We were there closing time.
We were there near closing time and he was trying to order his dinner.
You don't have a closing time button. Closing time.
But great place.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be searching for meaderies.
Wow, very nice.
I mean, we got two in the Pittsburgh area. We got Laurel Highlands, they're more traditional, and we got Apis, which is more about adding flavorings and stuff to mead. So we can go check those out again.
Yeah. Again? Have I been there? I don't remember.
I don't know if you've been to Apis.
Well, maybe not. Remember it.
All right. The world famous New Glarus Raspberry Tart.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Raspberry tart.
See, I was thinking of Raspberry Beret.
That's exactly, yeah, I was trying to do that song, but
it's hard to make tart sound like beret.
Yeah. Raspberry tart.
I hope this one stands up to my memories, because this was a world-class banger.
So this is a framboise, and this was, we were comparing this to, like, Lindemans and
like when sours were just starting out, this was one of the whales, one of the legends of sour beer. I mean, when I mean starting out in America in modern times,
4%.
The room was kind of closed off a little bit.
They do say serve this very cold in a champagne flute, which
very cold.
Oh, really? What? Really? I'm sitting here with my hands wrapped around it, trying to warm it up.
Well, we want to taste it, but. Oh, speaking of very cold.
It was very cold.
Speaking of, no.
On our hikes.
Well, the one hike I went. So when we got to Denver, we went on a drive that day because it was already like midday Saturday. Beautiful day. Let's go for a drive up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a couple breweries that were up out of town and we hit those. But one of them was in Golden, Colorado, you know, the home of Coors Brewing Company, right?
Right.
And you think of all the Coors marketing, all the mountains and the snow and the streams and stuff. Golden's plant is just this huge brick or like concrete square. And it's like, it's in the foothills, but it's in a desert, not a snowy mountain. Like there's cactuses growing there. It was like such a juxtaposition of the marketing is where Coors is brewed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you go to the Sandlot if you're going to do something Coors.
I hiked near. So we didn't go to Coors. We went to a different brewery called Cannonball Creek in Golden,
mm-hmm.
which had a lot of hype. But when we were there, the one thing was all that exciting, but they had won like 2 medals at the GABF. So I think they might've been drank out and they just had stuff left on tap. I think so we went at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because I told a bunch of beer people that I was talking to later on, and they're like, really? Cannonball Creek's supposed to be good. Like, real good. So, they must have been drank out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the aroma's kind of closed off. Flavor-wise, it's bright.
It has more body than, like, a framboise. It comes across more like a fruited Flanders Red, right? Because you're getting a little bit of that brown sugar, maybe tobacco, you know, getting some more, like, earthy tones in the flavor there. The raspberry comes across pretty clean and syrupy.
Yeah, not super aggressive, which is nice. Aggressive enough, but not like...
It's not too tart.
Yeah.
To me, it tastes like a syrup and not like raspberries.
I could see that. I mean, they do say they harvest what berries, and so I expect that this is actual berries.
It's very saturated then. Maybe I was thinking more of a lighter flavor that was more fruity, where this one is like saturated. This is almost like making a reduction.
I mean, I'm sure that they do that. Yeah, they almost certainly do, because I'm sure they don't throw live raspberries into the tanks. You wouldn't get a very consistent product if you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my guess is they take, you know, they do some concentration on the berries they get. And maybe adjust it. So it ends up in being a syrup of some sort.
Oh, Mark, thank you we got one more, but Mark, thank you. Before I forget to say it, thank you for sending these beers.
Absolutely.
You know, it was like, oh man, we're not loving these. And Mark sent them, but we don't want to put on a show. We want to be honest, right?
Yeah.
And I'm actually glad to have tasted these. Like, and I'm like, right now I'm thinking like, has like the state of the art in sours past New Glarus, or is it these packages? Cause I've never had raspberry tart in a 12-ounce bottle, right? It's been in the big bottle. Are those bottle conditioned and these not, you know, like those are the kinds of questions that are running through my head right now. It's certainly not bottle conditioned, or the Belgian Red has no gunk at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. None of these are bottle conditioned. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's good for a consistent product. It's probably not as good for an expressive product.
Yes, I agree. So it's not so alive. It's not still maintaining itself in the same way. Yeah. It's just preserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interesting to have like one of the Hall of Famers like come back and like, and you can see that.
Yeah. Well, this is a snapshot of a different time in the history of craft beer. This is not. But
that's a statement in itself. Like, why is New Glarus like a snapshot? Why isn't this like a raspberry tart 2.0, you know, that kind of thing?
Sure. But like, one thing I am liking is that there's not a hazy in the bunch.
But it was a hazy pill. No, it was a hoppy pilsner.
Yeah. But that one was interesting and different.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't
actually. That was that like the most complex beer of the night that so far?
In terms of, yeah, probably complexity wise, yeah.
I mean, we'll wait till the ratings, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if complex means best, but the most complex, yeah.
Right. The funnest to explore. All right, last beer, anniversary quad, canned beer. 30-year anniversary, last year. 1993 to 2023.
Endurance.
Yep. All right. So, quad. Let's see what we got on this sucker. Okay. Finally, we've hit the alcohol threshold that we figured
since the name's, it has quad in it.
Yeah. 10.5% on this guy. A combination of Czech, German, and American malted barley. Mm.
Well, there's the complexity that I like in a beer.
The first thing I'm getting is Fusel.
I'm not getting that. I'm getting high carbonation, kind of burning your nose a little bit, the carbonic acid. I'm getting Lavender Circus thing, peanuts. A little bit like lavenders and pear.
Pear. That's a good one.
Smell mine. I'm curious.
Smells the same to me. Mm. Yeah. Think pear. Like,
yeah, definitely pear.
Or work out a bunch of CO2. Maybe it's just burning your nose.
Maybe that's what it is.
It is highly carbonated for a canned beer. Very highly carbonated.
Okay. All right.
There's a little bit of banana in there.
Yeah. Very estery. Maybe I was just being confused by the esteriness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of banana.
Yeah. Bananas.
Good. Now I'm getting, now I can finally smell the malt past the carbonic and the fruit. And it reminds me of almost like a Chimay kind of malt bill, like a drier. The yeast is a little earthier. So like, it's been a long time since I've had Chimay Grand Cru, but this kind of reminds me of like that vibe.
But okay, yeah, lots of esters is just all I can come up with.
Those banana and pear are definitely in front of it though.
Yeah.
Ooh, heck yeah. Body's there, has this raisiny caramel thing going on.
Mm,
All
right. Okay. Yeah,
that brings it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyable, complex, tells a story, it develops. This is the beer we've been waiting for.
Yep.
There's a lot more here. There's kind of clovey notes. Yes.
Ooh, that's a good call too.
Some warming, some warming spice, a little cinnamon. Still very estery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a banana nut bread kind of,
mm-hmm.
You know, fresh out of the oven.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like walnut kind of in there. But there's a circus peanut estery thing going on.
The banana thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of off the charts.
Yeah.
Not so much that it's bad, but it does dominate.
It's the first thing I taste, and it's the last thing I taste. Yeah. It's just the lingering thing that I'm getting, is that very gross Michel banana flavor.
Yeah, I wish the pear stood up better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish that the other...
No, see, I love that
the other non-dominant flavors were a little bit more brought up.
Touch of chocolate's coming through in the flavor, like a middle eight. There's a lot there, finally.
Finally.
Now I have to change my ratings.
Something to stew on.
or rankings.
But I don't think that any of these brought it. You know, none of these said, this is going to be one of your new favorites. This is going to be something that you're going to rank up there with the best of them. None of these brought it, which is a shame.
Yeah. I mean, I am surprised and a bit sad that Belgian Red and Raspberry Tart don't occupy the same place they do in my memory. You know, that's kind of a bummer. Yeah, let's get on to the rankings.
All right.
I can go first.
Let's do it.
Let's see. I know the top of the list, the bottom of the list is.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, there's no loser, but maybe.
Nothing in here was undrinkable. Nothing in here was.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I think milk chocolate stout's going to be my last place, my seventh place. And then, probably seventh is the chocolate stout. That one just had bunch of that kind of syrupy flavor to it. Think I'm going to put...
You the coffee stout?
Chocolate stout.
Oh, last place. You're still on last
chocolate
place.
Stout's last place. Second to last, I think I'll put the Belgian Red, Wisconsin Belgian Red, mostly because it just was very simple in its flavor complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cherries... Wish it was more of what I remembered. And then I think I'm going to put the raspberry or the strawberry strawberry rhubarb in fifth place. The full body, that kind of smoothiness was kind of weird. And Greg probably like changed my opinion a little bit, but talking about how he liked it, because I'm like, yeah, he has some points there, which I think I might have been enjoying it more before that. Then let's put...
I did it. Yes.
Yes. I think I want to put coffee stout in fourth place, raspberry tart in third place. Now it's tough. I'm going to put the Pilsner in second place and the quad in first place. Very toss up for the first two. But I think I have to give the quad the edge because there was stuff to explore. It was opening up and giving me different flavors. Versus if I was going to put the Pils in first place, it was because I really liked how that hop forward Pils just presented me something different. I did like that, but I think the quad gets the edge for telling a deeper story. So let me grab my photo before we rearrange any of those bottles. Boop. Okay. Go ahead.
All
Whoever
right,
wants
Greg,
to go.
Go.
Let's see here. Okay.
It's like playing a game.
Yeah, playing a shell game. I know, right? The bottles are clanking, the spots right. are sliding.
In last place, we're going to go with
milk chocolate stout.
Yeah, the kind of messiest of the group, the one that didn't, Jeff sort of said it all, didn't really live up to its potential. I think that next comes the strawberry rhubarb, which again was really messy to me, really muddled. I wanted to like it a lot more than I ended up liking it. And then I'm going to go with the coffee stout, which was just the milk chocolate stout with a little bit less of the astringency notes that we noticed in the milk chocolate stout, but still didn't fulfill a lot. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin Belgian was the first time that like, well, not the first time, but of these, there was a clear story being told. It was simple, but it was clear.
Okay.
A raspberry tart was still very good. I liked it a lot. Wasn't as alive as it should have been. The quad, it was good. It was finally good to have something with substantial body to it. Mm-hmm. Estuary was overboard.
Okay.
And then the Pilsner was just the best of the night. It had so much going for it. Not my favorite kind of Pilsner, a little bit too hoppy, but everything about it was good. And really didn't have any complaints.
Right. Greg took the opposite of the coin flip for the top two that I did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, babe, what you got?
I'm going to let him get his picture.
I already did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. I've got to go through here and rearrange. Okay.
While you're rearranging,
yeah, you go ahead. Have a conversation.
Another story to tell. We did some hiking in Denver. If you hop on our Discord, craftbeerradio.com/what's the slash? Is it Discord?
I don't know.
I forget the shortcut.
It's in my Discord already, so I don't have to go to it.
Yeah. No, join our Discord. I'll make sure there's a link on our website. I posted a photo gallery. We did some hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park, and that was wild. Like, really breathtaking scenery, hiking mm-hmm. up to a lake on a mountain, and mountains in the background. And
I almost died.
Didn't almost die.
I thought I was going to die.
But you didn't almost die.
It's a tough place to go hiking. Really high up, not a lot of air.
Yeah, we were hiking at 9,000 and 10,000 feet, which took some getting used to, for sure.
It wasn't that had me. It was that stupid little half of a tree that we had to walk across.
There was a bridge over a creek that was just a log split in half, and it was snow-covered, and Shannon... One of the neat things we saw on that hike right past the bridge that Shannon didn't like, a fisher, you know, an animal that's called a fisher, mm-hmm. kind of halfway between a ferret and a raccoon. Apparently, you're not supposed to be able to see these things. They don't let you see them. And I saw it twice.
I think
it was a mama, like taking care of some babies or something. But like, it was really cool. And like, you search for animals like at Rocky Mountain National Park, and like, they're not mentioned. Like, Shannon found some websites where they said
it was hard to find, though.
Anyway, pretty cool seeing an animal that like isn't really known to be there. All right. Give us your ranking.
All right. Seventh place. I'm going with the, I can't even see it, the chocolate stout. And then, yeah, just didn't have a lot there. It was too watered down to me. And sixth place, I have to go with the coffee stout. Again, it was just a little bit better than the milk chocolate stout. So, yeah, it goes there. Fifth place, I'm going with the raspberry tart. And fourth is the Belgian red. Really, I like the Belgian red.
Cool.
But I
you're allowed to.
Was, you know, I said something about it. I think I said cherry. It was the hard candy.
Yeah,
Jolly Rancher.
Yep.
But no, I really think it kind of tasted like a cherry Starburst and a Tootsie Roll had a baby. It was really good. Anyway, third place, strawberry rhubarb. I know you guys didn't like it so much, but I just liked the fact that it didn't taste like a beer at all. Like anything that I would, would never believe it was a beer. Second place is the quad. Yes. And then first place is the Pilsner. And just because it's so different than any Pilsner that I've ever had, I like the hoppiness in it. So that's my ranking.
Cool. I guess I'm the one who's wrong not putting the Pilsner in first place.
I don't know if you're wrong.
All right.
So are we going to go and do the Mary Fuck Kill?
I got a piece of bad.
You got to do your Mary Fuck Kill first.
All right. I'm going to do that first. I'm going to kill the chocolate stout. I'm going to marry the Pilsner and I'm going to fuck the quad and I'll be back.
That's so funny because we're on the same page, honey. I'm marrying the Pilsner.
Need some more room.
Oh, you got to have more room? You can't get out? You got to pee?
You gotta pee, little boy.
I'm marrying the Pilsner. I am killing the chocolate stout, and I am definitely gonna fuck that quad.
Yeah, I'm gonna marry the Pilsner. I'm going to kill the stout, but who do I fuck?
That's a tough one, huh?
I think I might be fucking the raspberry tart.
Oh yeah, no, that was my fuck. Oh, actually, no. Strawberry rhubarb was my fuck until I had the anniversary quad.
I think I'd be fucking the raspberry tart because the raspberry tart was, I mean, you know, red dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fuckable. It's a fuckable beer. Which is not what we go for often on the show. But, yeah, like Jeff said, what was that 1-900 pills, right? That's a fuckable beer.
So yes.
I think a tart's fuckable and sexy in that way that you want in that, like, every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be nice to have your wife dress up as that beer and, you know.
Yeah, in that red dress.
Mm-hmm. So that's
the scarlet letter.
Yeah.
You know, it's so tough because I had fuck on the strawberry rhubarb for a long time and then I switched it up to the anniversary quad at the last minute.
Oops.
All right. Everyone, thanks for listening to our nonsense. We really appreciate it. And join our Discord.
Thanks, Mark.
Yes.
Again.
Thank you so much, Mark. This was fantastic.
And maybe we'll see you out in Wisconsin in the spring.
Yes. On our 6-week tour. On our 6-week tour to...